Well, 15 years ago this Sunday, a little boy boarded a flight from Washington, D.C. back home to Havana, Cuba. It marked the end of the long saga of Elian Gonzalez. But as Tim Padgett of Here and Now contributor WLRN in Miami reports, the moment was also the beginning of the U.S.'s new Cuba policy.
It was the first major story I ever covered in Miami, the first and quite possibly the worst.
Standoff. A deadline for Elian comes and goes. It's back in court as the Miami relatives say the government will have to take the boy by force.
It was the ugly international custody battle over Elian Gonzalez. For 7 long months in 1999 and 2000, it was bizarre nightly fodder for network news anchors like NBC's Tom Brokaw. Elian was a 5-year-old boy found drifting off the Florida coast after his mother drowned during their attempt to escape communist Cuba. Miami's anti-communist Cuban-American leaders demanded Elian be allowed to live with relatives in Miami. The boy's father wanted him back in Cuba. So did Cuban leader Fidel Castro. International law was on Cuba's side. So that Easter weekend, U.S. federal agents had to take Elian from the Miami family's home in Little Havana.
And they busted down the door, and they put guns right to our heads, and they grabbed little Elian, they snatched him from my arms.
That was Donato Dalrymple, the man who'd rescued Elian from the ocean and who was holding the boy when the feds burst in.
Please don't hurt the boy. Don't hurt the boy.
2 months later, Elian returned to Cuba. He left the Cuban-American community in disarray.
It was a pivotal event. It really changed the whole dynamic of the Miami community. It changed me.
Millionaire Miami businessman Carlos Saladrigas was one of the hardline Cuban-American leaders involved in negotiating Elian's fate with the feds. But when it was all over, Saladrigas says he and many others began some serious soul-searching.
I remember having a meeting with Cuban-American leaders where we were reassessing what happened to us, what hit us. We didn't realize how much damage we were doing to ourselves and to our image.
The damage was severe. The collective humanitarian effort to aid Elian was admittedly impressive. But by refusing to hand the boy over, Cuban-Americans had also hoped to humiliate Fidel Castro. It backfired. Critics called Miami a banana republic. They said the Cuban-American community's intolerance and the way it turned a traumatized child into a political football reminded them of none other than Fidel Castro.
This child became a trophy. It was horrendous, truly.
Elena Freire is a Miami Cuban-American who today heads the Foundation for Normalization of U.S.-Cuba Relations. She got anonymous death threats for advocating Elian's return to Cuba. But Freire says the most disturbing moment was a video the Miami relatives made in which they coached Elian to tell his dad he didn't want to come home.
Papa, yo no me quiero ir para Cuba.
Freire says that turned the rest of America against the Cuban-American community and made it question the U.S. policy of isolating Cuba, including the trade embargo.
For the first time, the national media was looking at the Cuban-American community, and it turned out to be very negative. Here in the U.S., it made us realize that maybe this was not necessarily the most rational way to go.
That, in turn, began to have its effect inside the Cuban-American community.
On the one hand, Elian brought Cuban-Americans together.
Guillermo Grenier is a Cuban-American sociologist at Florida International University in Miami.
On the other hand, it showed Cuban-Americans that they were part of a bigger picture in the dynamics of U.S.-Cuban relations.
As a result, the Elian disaster brought more moderate Cuban-American voices to the forefront. Carlos Saladrigas started the Cuba Study Group in Washington, D.C. It promotes engagement with Cuba, believing it's a smarter way to bring change to the island. Elian, says Saladrigas,
forced us to understand that we were not strategic, that while Cuba was playing chess, we were playing checkers.
Polls after Elian showed growing Cuban-American support for changes in the U.S.'s Cuba policy. And that's played a large role, maybe the largest role, in bringing us where we are now. President Obama's normalization of relations with Cuba, which were severed in 1961. Meanwhile, Elian, who is now a 21-year-old engineering student in Cuba, was recently interviewed by ABC News and said he wants to visit...
Estados Unidos.
So you want to visit the United States?
Sí.
But after the firestorm he sparked here 15 years ago, Elian may want to avoid Miami. For Here and Now, I'm Tim Padgett in Miami.